This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. For more than a decade, the suicide rate has been increasing among Black children. Now a new study says the greatest rise is among Black young girls. Dr. Ariel Sheftall recently published the study through the Center for Suicide Prevention and Research at the Abigail Wexner Research Institute at Nationwide Children's Hospital. It found more than 1,800 Black children died by suicide between 2003 and 2017. Most of the deaths were among boys, but the suicide rate of girls increased an average of 6.6% each year. That's more than twice the increase for boys. Dr. Sheftall recently spoke during a news conference hosted by U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown, in which Brown addressed the mental health challenges affecting young Black girls. We speak with Senator Brown later in this program, but first, my recorded conversation with Dr. Sheftall. Joining us now is Dr. Ariel Sheftall, principal investigator at the Center for Suicide Prevention and Research at the Abigail Wexner Research Institute at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Dr. Sheftall, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me today.
I read about some of your research in the New York Times, and that publication used the headline, "What's Going On with Our Black Girls?" And what's going on, according to your research, appears to be a suicide rate that is increasing among Black girls. This disparity among boys and girls with suicide rates, tragic all around, but that disparity, that gap between them is narrowing because the rate of suicide among girls over the years 2003 to 2017 was increasing by an average of 6.6% each year. What do we know about why?
Yeah, no, that is absolutely correct. Thank you so much for giving a summary of the research that we've been doing and what we've conducted recently. So we really don't know what's actually happening, to be quite honest, and that's why it's really, really important to do this research. Number one, to give us some insight on what is occurring in terms of the trends, but then we can actually begin to understand what those risk factors may be that are associated with suicidal behavior and Black girls specifically. So there were some instances. We also looked at precipitating circumstances, and what those things are just factors that happened prior to suicide death for girls versus boys. What we found is that there were differences for boys and girls when you looked at what was going on prior to. And for the girls, it seemed as if there were more differences present than for the boys. So girls tend to have more boyfriend and girlfriend problems prior to death. They also had an instance where they had an argument, and then within 24 hours of that argument, they had the injury that led to their death. So that could potentially lead to instances of emotion dysregulation where you're getting really agitated or very sad or very upset, and you're having a hard time actually regulating those emotions. Also, Black girls were more likely to have a physical health problem, which is quite interesting, to be honest, because that's the first time we've actually seen that to be present. But I think that also opens opportunities for intervention. So it may be that we need to start thinking about screening Black youth and their families potentially when they're being seen for those well checks, which is something that we have started to do.
And Dr. Sheftall, you have said previously that this research, I guess the results of this research, caught you a little off guard. Why?
It did. Well, I think the reason why it caught me off guard is because we have known for many, many decades now that males were more likely to die by suicide than females. However, this gap is lessening. And we did see that research done by my colleague, Donna Roosh, who looked at, you know, suicide rates over time for males and females. But for it to be actually exacerbated for Black youth specifically, that was really telling and took me back a bit, to be quite honest.
Is there a challenge in talking about suicide and feelings about suicide? I think what a lot of people refer to as suicidal ideation among Black youth compared to their white counterparts.
I think, unfortunately, when you look at mental health as a field and suicidal behavior, specifically ideation, as you indicated, there's a ton of stigma surrounding it. And unfortunately, that stigma seems to be more prevalent in youth of color, in families of color, and in individuals of color. So I would say, yes, it is harder to have those conversations, but they are conversations we absolutely need to have, as indicated by this recent research that we've done.
And again, I just want to talk a bit about the numbers, and I am sharing the numbers that were reported by the New York Times. I do have the study here in front of me as well, but in the New York Times profile about this research, it notes that just over 1,800 Black children died by suicide between 2003 and 2017. And it goes on to say, while most of the deaths were among boys, especially those ages 15 to 17, the gender gap is narrowing. That suicide rate of the girls increased an average of 6.6% each year, more than twice the increase of boys. It goes on to say nearly 40% of the girls were 12 to 14 years old, indicating that this age group may need additional attention or different types of interventions. When we think about teenagers, particularly, I guess, as we get older, we might lump them all together. But, you know, being a young teenager is different than being an older teenager. What are some of the challenges faced by those 12 to 14-year-olds compared to teens who might be two or three years older?
Yeah. So when we looked at age differences, what we found is that actually there were similarities between the 5 and 11-year-olds and the 12 to 14-year-olds compared to the 15 and 17-year-olds. So the 12 to 14-year-olds, they were more likely to unfortunately die in their own homes. They were also more likely to experience a family problem prior to their death, a school problem prior to their death compared to the older adolescent group. They were also more likely, as you indicated, to be girls, which again is not something that in the suicide field we are used to. We're majority of the times used to seeing that it's males that are dying more by suicide than females. But for this 12 to 14-year-old age group, it was more likely to be a female who died by suicide. So I think just anecdotally, 12 to 14-year-olds, it's a really hard time in life, to be quite honest. I think about where I was where I was during this age. And, you know, you're in middle school, about to transition to high school. And for some girls, that can be very difficult. For some boys, that can be difficult as well. But for females specifically, it seems that there is this school issue, this school crisis, school problems that seem to be really present. And also, we're transitioning from a little bit of dependence to independence as well during this time frame. So it may be that these girls are having more arguments with their family members compared to the older adolescents who are having potentially more arguments with their friends or their peer group. So this transition to independence and this transition to high school can unfortunately be really detrimental if the proper support isn't present. And maybe for this age group, that's what we're seeing potentially, that there's just a lot of stressors that these girls are facing in this period of age, and that they don't have those supports in place, unfortunately.
We're talking with Dr. Ariel Scheftal, principal investigator at the Center for Suicide Prevention and Research at the Abigail Wexner Research Institute at Nationwide Children's Hospital. When you look at the results of this study, are there some indicators that you wish you could measure, or are there some pieces that are missing from this puzzle that you wish you could have analyzed?
There are. So I know, and I'm sure as you do as well, Black youth experience a lot of stereotypes, racism, discrimination on a regular basis. And unfortunately, these specific databases do not have any information on those experiences that these children are having or not having. So I think those are things that are not in this article that I wish we could actually examine. One colleague of mine put it very blatantly, which I continue to repeat to others, is that racism is a trauma that is experienced every single day for Black youth and youth of color, and you can't shut it off. In some traumatic experiences, you can get away from those things and you can actually get the help necessary. Whereas with Black youth, they experience them over and over and over again. And you can't really shut them off because it's systemic. So I think, unfortunately, these databases don't have that information to actually examine. But I do believe that those are risk factors that are related to suicidal behavior in Black youth, and maybe one of the reasons why we are seeing these increases present.
I'll note that this study analyzed years 2003 to 2017. I'm wondering, for someone like you in the position that you have and the type of research that you do, suicide prevention, and I think about this pandemic and the mental challenges that have been faced, particularly by young people, what are you concerned about?
Everything, to be quite honest. I really am. I am very nervous about what the numbers are going to tell us. This pandemic has been so devastating to families of color. And I was actually watching the news recently where this person was indicating that they lost six individuals in their life, and it was a Black female, six individuals in their own family due to COVID. And I can't even imagine how much stress and how much pain that individual was experiencing. And not only that, how much pain the children were experiencing. And to not have that support of the school setting and not have the support of those family members that you used to talk to on a regular basis, get to see on a regular basis, or even within the community setting, you know, that grandmother that you call grandmother, but isn't really your grandmother, but takes you in after school and gives you a meal and gives you a snack and helps you with your homework. Those things weren't available to families of color, and they were extremely at risk for a lot of the concerns that happened during the pandemic: job loss, loss of family members, and so many more, loss of homes. Just so much was going on for families of color that I am extremely scared, to be quite honest, to look at what the numbers are going to tell us. And recently, there was a provisional report that came out that indicated that the 2020 numbers for youth did not look good, that there were increases for suicide in a lot of the ages that were examined. However, that is provisional. So we have to wait until the data comes out to really examine what those trends look like and what those trends look like by race and sex.
Well, let's talk about adults just briefly here and the role that we play or could play in these young people's mental health. And I don't mean adults in your role, an expert in the field of suicide prevention and research, or maybe an educator who works with children every day. But those of us who are just everyday adults out in the community, what do you think we need to know about the state of mental health among young people today in this country?
Well, I think we are truly in a crisis. That's number one. And I also think that youth are scared to talk about their mental health and what they're experiencing because there's so many other concerns that are happening right now in our society. And they may feel as a burden. They may feel that if they talk about their mental health to an adult, a trusted adult, they may feel as if they're putting another burden on that person. The one thing I would definitely suggest is checking in. You know, it doesn't have to always be, you know, a question that, hey, have you been thinking about suicide? Always just be, how was your day? What was the best part of your day? Tell me how things are going at school. Obviously, this is a big transition going to back to school 5 days a week for kids that were in this hybrid mode or, you know, online altogether. And we've been in the school now for a good couple of months, checking in to see how they're doing. But not only that, just, you know, having those moments where you can sit down and have these real conversations with kids about their feelings, about their thoughts, and just setting that foundation so that when those really hard conversations do have to happen, you already have set the foundation in place. Everybody can play a role in preventing suicide. I believe that wholeheartedly. The National Suicide Prevention Line knowing that number, having that number in your phone. I have it in my phone. And every presentation that I do, it's my first slide I give, because I tell people, take out your phones and take a picture, because everybody can actually prevent suicidal behavior, whether it be in adolescents, young children, or adults. We all can play a role. So I would hope that gives hope to others, and that it really is going to take, a community, and it's going to take all of us in order to make a difference in these numbers that we're seeing.
This research caught the attention of U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown, the Democrat of Ohio. We'll be talking to him next, as he hopes to move some legislation to further support mental health among young people. And we've been talking with Dr. Ariel Scheftal, principal investigator at the Center for Suicide Prevention and Research at the Abigail Wexner Research Institute at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Dr. Scheftal, thank you so much for sharing your research with us on this very challenging topic. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Up next, Senator Sherrod Brown discusses the proposed Child Suicide Prevention and Lethal Means Safety Act. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Senator Sherrod Brown hopes federal legislation could curb the rising rate of youth suicide among Black young people. I spoke with the Ohio Democrat earlier about his proposed Child Suicide Prevention and Lethal Means Safety Act. He says it will bring increased funding and attention to suicide prevention for children and young adults. Here is our recorded conversation. Joining us now is Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat of Ohio. Senator Brown, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
I want to talk about this study that explored the deaths of young girls by suicide. And before we get into some of the legislation that you're working on, tell us a bit about your feelings when you first looked at Dr. Scheftal's study.
Well, my first feelings prior to looking at that study was, just the more I see about the differentials and the discrepancies and the inequities and inequality of life expectancy among people of color and Caucasians, it's just so troubling as a nation. And we've not done well answering those problems. I remember some years ago, I did a small roundtable with a half a dozen African-American women of all different education and income backgrounds, and to listen to them talk mostly among themselves. I was a bit of a fly on the wall and didn't say much and just ask a couple questions and listen how they're treated at doctor's offices, what they see in the healthcare system, how much different it is for an African-American woman oftentimes to give birth in a hospital setting versus sometimes Caucasian women. And as you see that, you understand how our society has dealt with this or not dealt with this. At the same time, put on top of that we don't do mental health treatment in this country very well for anybody. And so you put that on top of racial inequality, and you get pretty troubling outcomes. So that was sort of my background about this. And then looking at this study just made it that much more troubling as I talked to more and more young Black girls and young Black women.
This legislation, Senator, is called the Child Suicide Prevention and Lethal Means Safety Act. As you noted, it was authored in the House by Congresswoman Lauren Underwood, a Democrat of Illinois, and you are sponsoring this in the Senate, I understand. And so there are two main focus areas that are part of this legislation. Let's start first with this grant program that would provide funding for initiatives that offer youth suicide prevention education, training, and resources to healthcare professionals.
Yeah, that really does underscore how there are many people in this society that would like to help address this. They just don't have the means to do it and the wherewithal to do it. So it's up to Congress to essentially survey places in the country who wants to do this, who is capable of beginning to bulk up this curriculum and offer these services and training, and then it will grow from there. It won't be all federal dollars that do this. It will be states and local governments will come in too and want to expand this and enhance this, and that's our hope and kind of kicking it off this way, but making it a national effort so people are aware of it.
We're talking with Senator Sherrod Brown. Another part of this is a grant program so that there would be additional focus on suicide prevention topics at health professional schools. What do we know about any apparent lack of that type of curriculum, or not necessarily lack, but areas where it might need to be enhanced?
Well, I think everywhere. I don't think that I sort of tried to say earlier, we don't invest in mental health services particularly well in this country. I'm not a young man anymore, but through my even early and middle-aged years, we almost didn't talk about mental health in this society. Now we do more, but we haven't put nearly the same investment in premium and research into mental health as we do physical health. Maybe that makes some sense, but clearly we've woefully underfunded mental health. And put on top of that, the racial disparities in mental health, and that makes the hill to climb that much more. So I think it's really, both these parts of the bill you talked about are so very interrelated in how we step up and invest so that families have an opportunity. And one of the big things we're doing in Build Back Better, which is the initiative, the President Biden initiative that we are about to pass in the next couple of weeks, is we will see more investment in all these services. And I don't think there's a community in the country that is quite met the standard we should meet. Small town, big city, liberal communities, conservative communities, we've just got more to do in mental health generally. One of the sidebars of this is I'm on the Veterans Committee, have been my whole career, and veteran suicide is a terrible problem, and the military has done a woefully bad job in identifying it. For instance, the military, and these can be young black suicides also, but they're military suicides, they're veteran suicides mostly. When they leave the service, there is rarely any special kind of attention to the transition into civilian life. And some of these kids come out of Appalachia or come out of an inner city, right in the military, right at 18. They serve for 4 or 5 years. They're 23. They don't know how to navigate a society. They never really have as an adult. And we don't help them enough. So all of those things, not to mention PTSD or what they might have had, the illnesses from burn pits they might have suffered in Iraq, we just treat them like they're disposable, and that's got to stop.
Senator, you just mentioned Build Back Better. I know that people have been focused on some pretty significant legislation. Is there a challenge with the timeline for the Child Suicide Prevention and Lethal Means Safety Act because of some of the difficulties in the Congress?
There's always a challenge, and this is spending money on mental health. It will especially help people of color. It will especially help veterans, and frankly, I've not seen the other party want to step up and invest in these kinds of things. They I guess their philosophy is the private sector will do it. Well, the private sector has not done it. Private sector hasn't provided adequate mental health services, and so it's essential that we work bipartisanly to try to get this done.
Senator Sherrod Brown is a Democrat of Ohio. Senator, thank you so much for the time today.
Sure, we'll do it again. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.